Begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basra, daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara now begins to explain the Mishnah of the previous daf. That as the Mishnah said, that the daughters of Tzalafcha took three portions in the land of Eretz Yisrael when they originally split it up. One was the portion of their father, who was from those who had left Mitzrayim, Egypt, although he died in the Midbar. The other two portions were that which were their, they took their father's place of inheriting his father, which was, one is because he was a son, and one because he was a Bukhar, which gets a double portion. So that double portion plus the portion of their father is three portions. Says the Gemara, it's none. So we learned in our Mishnah, command the Amar, like the opinion that says, L'yotzi Mitzrayim Nischalka Ha'aretz. The town of our Mishnah was going specifically, the one who holds that the land of Eretz Yisrael was split up according to those who had left Egypt. In other words, those who finally entered 40 years later into Eretz Yisrael only split according to the calculation of the individuals who had left Egypt, who they took, meaning when they entered, they took actually as an inheritance from their fathers, because it was calculated according to the first counting in the second year of when they had left Egypt, 39 years earlier. That's how they split up Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when although their children 39 years later ended up coming to Eretz Yisrael, they took it as if it's what they had inherited from their fathers, who they were the ones that got the Yerusha when they left Egypt. So therefore, the ramification is that someone that now, when he's coming to Eretz Yisrael, he has one son, that one son takes his entire portion. Someone who, when he left Egypt, now his he has 10 children who are entering into Eretz Yisrael, they only take, correlating to that same person, that one portion split up into 10 different parts, because it's not the individuals entering into Eretz Yisrael that get a portion for themselves. They inherit their father's portion. It goes according to the ones who left Egypt. That's why the B'nai Tzalafchad got a portion, because they are not their women. But they get their father's portion, because although the father never came into Eretz Yisrael, it goes based on the ones who left Mitzrayim. For them was split up, and then their kids who end up going in take their portion. Says the Gemara, the Tanakh Lunda Bryce, it's actually Machlekes. Rabbi Yeshi Amr, like the Tanav HaMishnah, he says, L'yotzi Mitzrayim Nischalka Aretz. For those who left Egypt, that's how Eretz Yisrael was split up. And how does he explain it? Because both opinions that the Brayis is going to quote, which are these two different opinions, was a split up to L'yotzi Mitzrayim or to the Baye Ha'aretz, those who entered Eretz Yisrael, there's two contradictory psukim, and each one will explain it according to their opinion. Shneim, like it says in the Pasuk about Midbar, which is in Parashat Pinchas, when it talks about those who are finally entering to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the 40 years, when they were counting, the final counting in Arvis Mayav, it says regarding them, L'shmeis mati avaisim, to the names of the tribes or their fathers, meaning from those who were counted when they left Egypt, that's how yinchalu, that's how these who are finally entering to Eretz Yisrael will go ahead and inherit it. In other words, for those that the inheritance was split up, then these, their children, are taking their place and inheriting from them. Now, actually, later on, the Gemara is going to explain, how do we know that when it says L'shmois Mati Avaisim, their fathers, means those who left Egypt, maybe it's actually talking about the 12 Shlatim much earlier in time. But that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is explaining. So that it's talking about that it was they were only inheriting what their fathers had already inherited, already went right when they left Egypt. Now, Eleman, the Mekayim, but then how do we explain the pasuk that says before that, where it says earlier, it says, Ela Bekuda B'nei Yisrael. It talks about these are the numbers, the tribes of the Jewish people, 601,730 people, where it says near there that Ve'idah B'Shem HaMoshelem, that Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, La'ela Techolika Aretz B'nachlet. For these people, that the land of Eretz Yisrael will be split up as an inheritance, which obviously the pasuk is indicating that it's those who are entering that the inheritance is split up. Not like they're just inheriting from their fathers, that for them it was initially given. How do we explain this pasuk? That's what Rabbi should know. What the pasuk, when it says La'ela, it means Ka'ela. Like these individuals who are entering Eretz Yisrael, that we're counting them, that they are 20 years old, because it's telling us that that's how it was split up when they had left Egypt, that only those who were over 20, when they left Egypt, that's who, for them, it was divided Eretz Yisrael. But Lahaitzi Esatzvon, that's coming to exclude children which were under the age of 20, where when they left Egypt, if they were under 20, they did not take a portion of the land of Eretz Yisrael, neither them nor their children, rather they would only take in the rights of those who bequeathed to them, meaning their own father. And let's say this guy who left Egypt was under 20 and he didn't have any relative that bequeathed to him, for example, he didn't have a father, neither did he have an uncle or a brother who died in the desert without any children, then you're right, then he would not have taken the portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's all the Eila is coming to teach us, that like these that we're counting when they're going to Eretz Yisrael are over 20, that's how it was split up to Chalukah Eretz when they had left Egypt. You have to be over 20. But it's not those who entered, but rather it's when they left Egypt, they're the ones that it was Eretz Yisrael is divided for. And those who enter only inherit that division. That's how the town of our Mishnah holds. Rabbi Yehuda Sinaimer, he disagrees. He says, L'boi ha'aretz neschalk al'aretz. Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those who entered into Eretz Yisrael, not those who left Egypt. Because we don't go after those who left, but rather those who entered Eretz Yisrael. So for example, if there was Reuben and Shimon, two brothers that left Egypt, and they gave birth to children, to sons in the Midbar. This one had 10 children, this one had one. If you'd go after those who left Egypt, then each one would only take one portion and then split accordingly. But now that, like Rabbi Yehuda says, that you go based on the ones who enter into Eretz Yisrael, so the one who had 10 children, now they're coming in as 10, they take 10 portions. And this one who only had one child, his son's coming as one, he only takes one portion. And he proves it, like it says in the Pasuk, lo'ela techalik ha'aretz benachal, it's for these that the land of Eretz Yisrael is divided as an inheritance when they come into Eretz Yisrael. But elamani mikayim l'shamayis matei avayisim yecholu, then what does he do with the other Pasuk that it's for the names of the tribes of their fathers, that they're the ones who inherited, which sounds like that we go after those who left Egypt, that for them it was also divided as an inheritance. So on that, Rabbi Yonason explains that for that, this pasuk of L'shmei Yismat Avos Mechalu helps to explain the following concept. Mishuna Nach Lezu, this inheritance, is different Mikol Nachala Sheba'olam, from all inheritance in the world. Why? Shekol Nachala Sheba'olam, generally, regarding any inheritance, Chayim Yershin Mesim, the living inherit the dead. V'kan Mesim Yershin Chayim. Here, it was the exact opposite. The dead inherited the living. What does that mean? Which is after that the sons of Reuben and Shimon take their 11 portions in the land of Eretz Yisrael, because as we said, it goes based on when they're coming in. Here's 10 sons and here's one. Each one of these sons are taking their own portion, which is for a sum total of 10 plus 1 is 11. Then they go ahead and they divide according to the calculation of the tribes of their father. What does that mean? It's as if the ones who left Egypt, which are their fathers, Reuben and Shimon, as if they split amongst the two of them these 11 portions. And obviously it has to be talking about their fathers, Reuben and Shimon, who when they left Egypt were over 20, which is similar to the prerequisite we have for those that enter into Eretz Yisrael, because the Torah is very particular about the division of Eretz Yisrael. It has to be for those who are 20 years old. As we said, that's the purpose of Lo'ela to these, which the counting over there, those entering Eretz Yisrael, that number of 601,000 plus, was talking about those over 20. Now, what it turns out is, according to this interpretation, is that the sons are actually only like agents to go ahead and bring back home 11 portions. But they don't get each of their own portions. They go and, so to speak, bring it back to their fathers, Reuben and Shimon, who they go and bequeath to their children together, because even Reuben and Shimon are not like their own. They're both brothers from their father. So what turns out is now the 11 portions are now divided amongst the children of Reuben and Shimon. So it comes out that Reuben's sons take half of the 11 portions, which is 5.5, and the son of Shimon takes half. And actually, that's how it's taught in the Tosefta, which says that let's say you have two brothers that left Egypt. One brother ended up having 9 sons, and the other one had 1 son, and they have 5 kurin, which are 10 lusachim, which is a half a kur, to divide amongst themselves. So the 9 sons, they go and they bring back home 9 lusachim. The one that goes brings back 1 lusach. Now the, so to speak, the dead, their fathers are inheriting the living, they like bring it back to their fathers, and then the fathers go back and bequeath it back to their sons. So the 9 brothers take half, which is 2.5 kor, and the other one who has 1 son, he also takes half, which is 2.5 kor. And that's what we mean when we say in the Gemara that the living generally inherit the dead, and here the dead are inheriting the living, where although they're getting, the portions are being divided amongst who are going to Eretz Yisrael, but they don't each get their own. It then reverts back to those who the fathers already passed a long time ago, as if they have now those portions that they're getting, and then they redivide it back to their children, which comes out to a different number, as we just described. If you only went according to how you went in, each one will get their own portion as it is. But we're not saying that. we're saying that they get their portion, then they like send it back to their parents, which is this Reuben and Shimon, and then now they take the 11 portions, and okay, Reuben, you take half, Shimon, you take half, you get 5.5, I get 5.5, and I give it to my sons. Well, my son is only one son, he gets 5.5. Your sons, well, there's 9 or 10 of them, and you got to divide amongst all of them. That's how we understand, although it's L'Bai Ha'aretz, but that's how we understand the pasuk of L'Shma Yismati Avaisim Yinchalo, which goes back, which is called this concept of Chazara. Now, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Em Shulcha Moshul Ma'adavadam, it says, I'll give you a parable to explain this concept of Rabbi Yonzen, what is it that he's talking about? Meaning Rabbi Yishe, like the time of Mishnah, we understand very simply. It's divided Eretz Yisrael amongst those who left Egypt, and then their sons, whatever they are when they come to Eretz Yisrael, so now they're inheriting, they have to divide more whatever their father had had. Rabbi Yonzen has an interesting concept, which is that, no, it gets divided amongst those who enter, but then they don't take it themselves. They give it back to their parents, and then they subdivide it back to themselves. So Rabbi explains, L'shnei achen kahanim shahoyu bi'ir achas. I could compare it to two brothers that were kahanim that lived in the same city. And they stipulate amongst themselves that we don't want to compete for the truma. Whatever our sons go and collect from the granaries, we'll divide amongst ourselves. Now, le'echad yesh le'ben echad. One of the brothers had only one son. And the other one had two sons. Now, each one of the sons, they sent, okay, Yankala, go to the granary and bring back home for the truma that you can get from the people. So, so the one who had one son only brought back home one portion. The one who had two sons ended up bringing back two portions. But that wasn't what, it's not each one getting their own. The kindlech come back home, and they bring it back to their fathers. And the two brothers had made up that we're going to split evenly. That's the same concept that we're saying over here by those who came into Eretz Yisrael. This one took his portion. He was only one son. He took a saw. And let's say the other brother, who he had two kids going into Eretz Yisrael, brought back two saw. And then they go ahead and bequeath it to their fathers, because as we're saying over here the dead inherit from the living, and then they go back and bequeath it back and split it equally amongst each other, which then each one is getting half to give to their children, as we explained. Now we understand both of these psukim. You have La'ela Techalaka Aretz, which is telling us very simply that each one who comes into Eretz Yisrael takes a portion. And also we understand L'Shmois Matea Vaisam, which is talking about regarding the actual division, which is that each divide amongst themselves what they had taken, as if it was by those who had left Egypt, their fathers had divided their portions that they take. So it comes out that the sons of Shimon take from these portions, correlating to the amount of the sons that the sons of Reuben take, even though one could have 10 sons and one could have one son, it doesn't make a difference. They each are going to get, let's say we said 11 portions total, because 10 and 1, that their sons are going to get 5.5, and this one son is also going to get 5.5. That was the second opinion of Rabbi Yonzen. Pshim the Lazaim, he says a third interpretation, again in the resolution of these two psukim as we continue to Amud Beis. He says actually, le'elu u'le'elu. Actually, for those who left Egypt and for those who came to Eretz Yisrael, Nischalkal Aretz, the land of Eretz Yisrael was divided. And kedei l'kayim shnei mekoreis halalu, and that's because so to be able to resolve the seeming contradiction of these two psukim. Now, as Rashbam points out, this Tana does not hold to the concept of chazara, meaning because Rabbi Yonzen explained the pasuk. It says, yeah, those who enter are the ones who divide it, but then it goes back to their parents, who then it gets divided back to their children. He doesn't hold to that. And moreover, says Rashbam, the Tana of our Mishnah could still be like Rabbi Shimon Lazar, because according to him, you will still have that the daughters of Tzlachut will be taking three portions, because he also holds that it gets divided amongst those who left Egypt. And actually, that's why Rashbam says that when the Gemara had originally opened up this daf by saying, so who the Tana of a Mishnah like? It says, like the one who says, Le'yetzim Mitzrayim Nischalka Aretz, that it was divided amongst those who left Egypt. It doesn't say very simply, like Rabbi Yeshia, who he's the first Tana that we mentioned that seemingly is like the Tana of a Mishnah, because our Mishnah could also be like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who also agrees it's Nischalka Le'yetzim Mitzrayim. He just additionally holds that it was also Nischalka Le'bayi Ha'aretz, to those who came into Eretz Yisrael, because he holds actually both are true. Not that it was only those who left, and that, like Rabbi Yishai said, La'ela is Ka'ela, and neither did they hold like Rabbi Yonzen that, no, it was those who came in, but then there's the concept of Chazar going back. No, he holds both are true. It was divided amongst those who left and also those who came. Now, Ha'ketzad, how is that? So that explains the Braisa. If Ha'yim Yitz Mitzrayim, if this individual was from those who left Egypt and not from those who entered into Eretz Yisrael. For example, let's say Reuven left Egypt and he was over 20 years old. Now, he gave birth to sons in the desert, and Reuben died in the desert. Now, moreover, his sons were under 20 when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, so they cannot take a portion of Eretz Yisrael because of themselves, because you have to be over 20 years old. So that's what one of the psukim is saying, Noitel Chalko Yemir Tzim Mitzrayim. So his sons take the father's portion from those who had left Egypt. That will be, which we said, L'shmais Matei Avos Min Chalu. It's going based on taking a portion of Eretz Yisrael purely because the father had been from those who left Mitzrayim. Let's see how Yemi Boi Ha'aretz. Let's say actually this individual was from those who only came into Eretz Yisrael, but was not from those who left Egypt. In other words, for example, let's say Reuven gave birth to sons in Mitzrayim, and then this Reuven died in Mitzrayim. Now, his sons were under 20 when they left Mitzrayim. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, however, which was more than four, that was 40 years later, they were over 20 years old. So then each one of his sons, they take chalkoi im boi ha'aretz, his portion with those who enter into Eretz Yisrael, and purely for that sake, which was le'elat chalak ha'aretz. Or another version you could say is that when Reuben himself left Mitzrayim, he wasn't yet 20 years old. Then he gave birth to sons in the Midbar, and then Reuben died in the Midbar, and then his sons entered into Eretz Yisrael. Then again, they're going to take their portion because they're from those who entered into Eretz Yisrael. So then if they're 10 sons, they're going to take 10 portions, but it's going to be based purely on coming into Eretz Yisrael. Then you could also have Mikan or Mikan. You could have from both sides. For example, let's say Reuben was 20 years old when he left Mitzrayim. And then he gave birth to sons in the Midbar, and then he died. Moreover, the sons themselves were 20 years old when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, says Reb Shimon Elazar. So then, Noitel Chalkei Mekan Mekan. Then he takes his portion from here and from here. In other words, he takes his portion because of himself, because he's from those who entered into Eretz Yisrael, and he's over 20 years old. And he also takes a portion because of his father, who was also from those who left Egypt, and his father was over 20 when he left Egypt. So it says Reb Shimon Elazar, you have both ideas. You have La'elet Echalaka Aretz, which is if you're over 20 when you enter. And you also have L'shmais Avosim Tinchala, which is if your father was over 20 when he left Egypt. That also is a right for a division of a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the three different opinions on how to resolve the two psukim and how to define who Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst, either those who left Egypt or those who entered into Eretz Yisrael, or both, like Reb Shimon Elazar said. Continues the Braisa, Miraglim, regarding the spies who were sent into Eretz Yisrael and came back with bad reports. So says the Braisa, even though it was really fit for their sons who entered into Eretz Yisrael to take their father's portion, who they were from those who were over 20 when they left Egypt, even so says the Braisa, their sons did not take it. Rather, Yeshua and Kaleb, not L'chalkam. Yeshua and Kaleb, the other two spies who did not bring back bad reports about Eretz Yisrael, they took the other 10 Meraglim's portions in Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara later on, the coming daf, will explain, where the Pasuk says, Choyu min anashim ahem, they lived from those who were from those men of the spies, which teaches us, of course, we know that they were alive, that they were alive through their portions. Which a Torah is teaching us a lesson. When a Rasha, a wicked person like the Meraglim, are liable, then the righteous person comes and merits his portion. Which, we learn this out from a Pasuk that tells us that they didn't get their portion, because neither the Meraglim, or as we'll shortly explain, the Misloinim or the Adas of Kairach, took a portion there to Israel. We know this from the fact that the daughters of Tzlavchad said, as it's brought in Bamidbar Chav Zayin, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, our father died in the desert, and he was not amongst the assembly, which the Gemara later on is going to explain. That's a reference to the Meraglim, which Hana Adam Al Hashem, which ganged up against Hashem, so to speak, there it's a reference to the Misloinim. And neither was he part of Adas Kairach, which is like the simple translation. So therefore they said, Lama Yigarashim Avinu, so why should our father lose out just because he died in the Midbar, since he was not from the Meraglim, neither from the Misloinim, nor from the Askarach? Now, which the inference from that tells us, obviously all those did not take a portion of Eretz Yisrael, meaning even the sons in the merit of the fathers, because their fathers did not take a portion to bequeath to their sons. So the Meraglim's portion went to Yeshua and Kalev. Misloinim v'adas karech, which actually the Gemara on the next daf will explain, this is not two different categories, it's actually referenced to the Misloinim that were from the Adas Karach, which refers to not the Karach's immediate family, but rather to the 250 people that says in the beginning of Parashat Karach that he gathered and he brought to get steam to fight Moshe Rabbeinu. So those who complained that were part of the Adas Karach, loy hoyalam chelik ba'aretz, they didn't even have a portion there to Israel, that their sons did not take their portion. Now, although that the Misloinim were from those who had left Egypt over the age of 20, but it was as if they did not even exist. And What that means to say is that all the tribes merited in their portion as if it was split amongst those who left Egypt without counting those mislainim. And therefore, every single portion of every single Jew in Eretz Yisrael was added on a little bit because it was sublimated in the rest of the apportioning of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rashbam points out that must mean that the Tanna of this Braisa holds that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those who left Egypt. But however, he says you could say that this is the conclusion of the last opinion mentioned in the Braisa, that of Reb Shimon Elazar, who holds that, yeah, it was split amongst both those who came to Eretz Yisrael and those who left, which would mean that the Mislainim, that Meraglim, those who left Egypt, also had a portion there to Yisrael, but we're saying that they didn't get their portion. Meraglim went to Yeshua and Kalev, and the Mislainim went to the rest of the Jewish people. Now, Habanim, the sons of the Meraglim and the Mislainim who came to Eretz Yisrael, and as we just pointed out, they couldn't take the portion of their father, because their fathers didn't get their portion. So what did they do? Natlu b'schus avi avin. They took a portion there in Eretz Yisrael from their father's father. Meaning, if their father's father were from those who had left Egypt. But as we said, the portion of their father, which really should have been that they should have inherited from their father themselves, who were from those who left Egypt, that portion which from the Meraglim went to Yeshua and Kalim, and that of the Mislainim went to all the tribes. So they didn't get it. Rather, they have to get from their father's father, or Ubeschus Avia Mesein, or their maternal grandfather, meaning their mother's father, which obviously that's Toma, that if their mother didn't have any brothers, because if their mother had brothers, then their mother doesn't get anything. But if their mother didn't have any brothers, then they inherit from their mother who got from her father. Now, later on Daf Kofi Yotesamen Av, the Gemara explained this part of the Braisa, they could even be talking that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those who came into Eretz Yisrael. But we said that it doesn't go based on, but here we're saying that, why wouldn't they get a portion? It would be talking about, for example, that they were under 20 when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, where then they don't take it based on themselves, but rather they take based on this concept of Chazar, which the Gemara there will explain how we understand that they'll be getting because whoever came kicks it back to their grandfather, which will then kick it back to them because they are a child or slash grandchild from their grandparents, and therefore they could get a portion even though they're under 20 when they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara asks, according to all opinions, my mashma the high lishmois mati avaisim, what is the understanding, as we alluded to this question on Aleph, that when the pasuk talks about for the name of the tribes of their fathers, that b'yetzim mitzrayim ksiv, that's referring to those who left Egypt, which again we learned out from there, especially according to the pin that says that it's liyetzim mitzrayim nischalkar, it's that it was divided amongst those who left Egypt, but dimel shvatim kamala, maybe who we talk about when we say to the tribes of their fathers, maybe it doesn't mean the generation who left Egypt. Maybe it means for the 12 sons of Yaakov, the Shiftei Ka, for them Eretz Yisrael was divided, and not for those who left Egypt. How do we know that when it says that, although it's those who coming into Eretz Yisrael are dividing, it doesn't go based on them. It goes according to the tribes of their father, which are referring to those generation who left Egypt. How do we know that? Says the Gemara, because the Chassid, the Pasuk in Shema says, V'nasati oisa lachem mayrash ani Hashem. Hashem says that I'm going to give it this to you, an inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, I am Hashem. Now, says the Gemara, Yerushahi lachem abaseichem. What it's saying is that this inheritance for you from your fathers. Now, but who is he talking to? Uliyetim Mitzrayim kamalhu. It was for those who left Egypt that he was talking to, which most definitely is supposed to be said to them. And therefore, since he was talking to the tribe to the people who just left Egypt, and he's saying that this inheritance that you have from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is going to be given to you, you're going to divide it. Obviously, that when the pasuk tells the generation who had entered Eretz Yisrael that I had given this inheritance to be divided, l'shmais mati avaisim, it's referring to the generation who left Egypt, not to the 12 sons of Yaakov years before that. Now, regarding this topic that we're discussing from the Halacha of our Mishnah regarding who Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those who left Egypt or those who entered Eretz Yisrael or both, so the Gemara brings many different questions going into the next daf that Rav Papa asked Abaye regarding this topic. And the siman and the manik to remember these questions are L'Rav, for the many, Tzlafchad v'Yosef, Tzlafchad, which was this individual that died in the Midbar, and Yosef, Ichvel was repeated, Menashe, and Yichash, which is the tribe of Menashe, and Yichash will be counted. So the first question is Amalei Pablabai. He says, Bishloima, it's very well understood, Lamanda Amaliyit Mitzrayim Nischalka Arts, according to the opinion, like that of the Tanav Mishnah, that of Rabbi Yeshua, that we said that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those who had left Egypt, although they didn't actually even make it to Eretz Yisrael, but their sons only took inheritance from what was already, so to speak, divided by their parents who had left Egypt. So we can understand what it says in Pasuk in Bamidbar, L'Rav Tarba Nachlasa, for the many, the inheritance is increased. And for the minority, for those who are few, so then the inheritance is less. Meaning, which that would sound like to say, that the one who was many when he left Egypt, because that's what it says after that over there, that for the names of the tribes of the fathers they inherit, which we said that means to say, for the people who had left Egypt. So what the Pasuk is saying, that even though now when they're entering into Eretz Yisrael, they're actually much less, still says the Pasuk, Tar b'nachal asay, it's still going to be a large inheritance, because we go based on how they were when they left Egypt. Moreover, says the Pasuk, that for those who were little when they left Mitzrayim. So that's what the Pasuk is saying, that even though now when they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, they have many children, still they're going to get a smaller inheritance. And actually, that's how it's taught explicitly in the Sifri, explaining this pasuk. L'rav tarba nachlasai explains the Sifri. If let's say, when someone left Egypt, he left with 10 sons from Mitzrayim. Now, but when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, there were only 5. And that says the pasuk, I would recite regarding them, l'rav tarba nachlasai. Because, although now there are few, they're going to take a larger inheritance because it goes based on how they were when they left Egypt. So let's say someone had 5 sons when they left Egypt. When they entered into Eretz Yisrael, there were 10. On them, I would recite l'ma'at tama nachalasai. That's for those who are few. Although now there's many sons, but they're going to take a smaller inheritance because again, you go based on how they were when they left Egypt. Because you would think to say you go based on how they are right now. Kamash malan. That's what the pasuk would be teaching us. That no, we would go based on what they originally were. Even though now the facts are different, it doesn't make a difference. L'rav, those that are originally big will have a larger inheritance, even though now they're few. And so they're going to get larger. And lema'ad, those who are fewer, that even though they're a lot now, will take a smaller inheritance because they have to divide amongst how it was originally. But as we continue, Tav of Kof Yud Chesem and Aleph, Elaman the Amal Abaya Arts, but according to the one that says, Eretz was divided amongst those who came into Eretz Yisrael, my L'rav Tabernach Lasse, how do we understand this passage? What would it mean to say that based on the many, the inheritance is increased? What does that mean? Everyone who's coming now takes according to who he is and how he is. Everyone's getting the same amount accordingly. So what would it mean? The more get more and the fewer get fewer. Says the Gemara, Kasha, definitely for us, it's a difficulty, which that's many times what the word Kasha means to say. It's not to you, it's a refutation, meaning we don't know how to answer that question of the Pasuk according to that Tana, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a refutation of his opinion. Now, why can't we answer? So Rashbam explains because a few different options wouldn't work out. You can't say l'rav tarba isa for the one that's many you increase, which means to say, yeah, the ones that have a lot right now, you'll increase their inheritance. And the ones who are few right now, you'll make their inheritance lesser. You can't say that because, first of all, that's logical. That's what the Pasuk already said. L'eila techalika aretz. For those who are coming to Eretz Yisrael, which that opinion holds that the Pasuk is telling you, according to those who are coming, that's how you divide it. So you wouldn't need a Pasuk. Moreover, says Rashbam, that actually wouldn't make sense. Because the terminology of tarba and tamit would only be that when one person is taking more than they should, and the other one's taking less, which this one is taking a larger portion, and this one's taking a smaller portion. But when all of them are splitting equally, that's not more or less. Rather, it should have said, chelik, chelik, and chalu. Everyone will take a portion accordingly. So if there's 10 sons and there's 5 sons, that's not meaning they get more, they get less. Everyone's taking according to what he's supposed to be taking. Moreover, neither can you entertain to explain for this opinion that we're talking about the concept of chazara, where what we would be saying is that, yeah, because l'shmeis mati avaisam is, like we said, that, of course, you could have that those who come into Eretz Yisrael actually will be taking less and some will be taking more. Why? Because we said that although each one they're coming in, they're taking their own portion, but they don't get their own portion. We said you got to kick it back to their parents. And let's say if there was Reuven and Shimon that left, Reuven had one son and Shimon had 10 sons, what's going to come out? Reuven's one son is going to take 5.5 from the 11 portions, and Shimon's son is going to also have to split 5.5 amongst 10 children. So therefore, asks Rashbam in the way of explaining the Gemara, so why couldn't you say that that is where you're going to have some taking more and some taking less? That says Rashbam, because you wouldn't need l'rav tabernach losi to say that concept. You already know that concept from what the pasuk is, according to this interpretation holds, that l'shmoisim et avaisim teaches that concept, which this Tana says, that teaches the concept of chazar. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me, which is already understood from the concept of l'shmois mati avaisim, which already teaches the concept of chazar. And moreover, says Rashbam, that also wouldn't work, because the terminology of l'rav tabernach losi and tamid sounds like right now, when they're taking, which is the first netila, when each one's coming to take his portion, before it gets kicked back to the parents, And the reason why it sounds like it's by now, because that's what the end of the pasuk says, Ishlefi Bakuda Byuta Nachalosa, each man according to his station, he takes his inheritance. It sounds like now, not the ultimate taking yet. The ultimate taking could be will be more or less, depending on the kickbacks, how much it goes back to the parents and come back to the living. But it sounds like right now some will be taking more, some less. That's not true, because if you say according to the ones who enter, it's being split, each one's getting this portion that he's supposed to get. And therefore it says the Gemara, we don't understand a good explanation for that Tana who says, L'bay haaretz neschalka, to explain what the pasuk means to say, L'rav ta b'nachlasa, u'lamat ta b'nachlasa, it doesn't mean it's a refutation, but we don't know how to interpret it according to that Tana.